Welcome to Camp Creepyhead Saturday Morning Monster Mash! Blah!
This episode is brought to you by Global Milk.
Welcome, everybody, to episode, I think, 114 of Count Creepyhead Saturday Morning Monster Mash.
Why? 114? That's how many bowls of cereal I ate in a row, and now I can't shit to save my life. What?
You guys ever have the problem of eating breakfast in the middle of the night? And then having, like, one of those, like, I ate too much fiber bowel movements and you can't remember where it came from. And then you have to open up the cupboard and be like, oh, man, I ate a whole, like, half a box of Creclin Operin. No wonder I just shit myself. Am I the only one?
I've never done that and forgotten. I've definitely done the half a box of cereal in the middle of the night.
Like, I can't eat a serving of cereal. That's... What am I? Like Webster? you got to fill the bowl, and that's like three or four servings of shredded wheat.
That's true.
It tastes good, you know, or just eat it right out of the box. Just saying. How's everybody doing?
Not too bad.
Yes.
Yeah.
I am alive. I am between house hunting and producing art and just general life, I'm ready to take a few days off.
Yeah. Don't lose that creative bug, Josh, because I love your merchandise. Keep making it, please.
Well, thankfully, like, I've got everything almost lined up through, like, the end of April. To the point where I only have to make one mold for the, well, you know, one set of molds for Gilman.
Yep.
And then I'm set for everything, like, through the end of April. And, oh boy, I'm excited about that. Because, once I finish Gilman, then I'll be able to just sort of sit back for, like, a week. And be like, okay. And then after that week, I can start the mummy and other things.
Cool. Josh, I know you have. I don't know if you have, Mike. I played and beat Spider-Man Miles Morales. I'm like three years late.
That's a great game.
It's a fucking fun game.
Yeah, it is.
I forgot how fun it is just to be Spider-Man and electrocute people and punch them off buildings. It's the funnest damn thing in the world. And it's a shame that, like, you got to beat the game to have Spider-Cat. Because that was, like, I was playing it and I was like, fuck, that's cool. There's a cat that's a weapon. I like it.
Spider Cat was super fun.
I haven't played Spider-Man 2 because I don't have a PlayStation 5, but the first Spider-Man and Miles Morales were great games. They were so much fun.
I was thinking about it and I was like, great, I got to play Spider-Man 2 now. But then I was like, that's the only game that I want to play. It's on exclusive to PlayStation 5.
Right, and it won't be exclusive forever. So that's the thing I keep thinking about is all these system exclusives are becoming just timed exclusives. There's a lot of them are opening up to both platforms, but at least they're open up to PC, even if they are an exclusive.
Yeah.
So like all the Sony exclusives, about a year later they come out on PC, and with Xbox it's like sometimes it's same day, and other times it's like a month later.
I'm sure I'll get a PlayStation 5 when the PlayStation 6 comes out.
Well, they're already talking about it.
And Switch 2. Mm. I'll probably get the Switch 2 before I do the PlayStation 6. So Zoe is obsessed with Squirrel Girl, like, literally overnight. It's school spirit week, so each day there's a themed dress-up thing. Mm-hmm. And today was your favorite sports team. Tomorrow's Crazy Hair Day. Wednesday is dress as your favorite superhero. So, you know, I was like, just put on a Batman shirt. Like every other parent would be like, just put on your superhero shirt that you have, Spider-Man, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, because I have a basement full of Marvel Legends, Zoe was like, I'm Squirrel Girl. And I was like, oh, fuck. but she's never read any comics, seen any cartoons. And I was like, all right, well, I'm going to get you some Squirrel Girl comics. And I hope to God they're good for an 8-year-old girl, because I just bought a bunch. I'm sure Strasburg's going to hear this and be like, actually, read this, this, this. But I got Unbeatable Squirrel Girl Volume 1. Maybe I could finally get her reading comic books. I hope, anyways. And last but not least, a little preamble, because I love doing this. Have you guys ever heard a woodchuck and a fox fight?
No.
No.
It's like two babies in a knife fight. would be the best way to describe the sound. Neither of you guys have been to my house, but I have a ranch on a hill. And if you can picture, the basement is partially buried, mm-hmm. because it's on a hill. So like the front of the basement is underground. The back of the basement is not.
Okay.
And I'm in my basement where I keep my toys set up, and I do this constantly. I'm like fiddling with my figures and listening to music and goofing around. And I start hearing like loud screaming. At first I thought Zoe was watching something goofy on YouTube. And then she came downstairs and she was like, what the hell is that sound? It was pitch black outside. And I thought it was like two cats fucking. horrible, like, but I don't want to explain the birds and the beasts to Zoe. So I was like, I don't know what's going on. We're just not going to. I woke up in the morning and my neighbor, who has nothing to do, was like, did you hear the outside last night? You got a fox and a gopher fighting. Yeah. So
I like that he knew exactly what it was.
He's got nothing to fucking do. Yeah, shit. He has no hobbies. His hobby is being a busybody in the neighborhood. He became his father. He just rides around in his riding lawnmower, and he's in everybody's business. So he's up my ass all day today about this woodchuck that was digging holes under my deck. So under the deck, it's all like loose soil. It's a big sandbox, but there's holes from this woodchuck or a skunk or a graboid, something. And foxes come in and they eat the woodchuck. So in the middle of the night last night, like 9 o'clock, it's not middle of the night, it got in these burrows and just ripped a woodchuck to pieces. And I had to go back in there this afternoon and like try to find the dead body. I couldn't. Oh. And then like throw a bunch of poison down and bury all the little burrows. Yeah.
That sucks.
Home ownership, Josh. Are you ready for that?
Oh boy, you betcha.
It's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Get yourself a shovel and some poison. You're going to use it at least 3 or 4 times a year. Comes in handy. No idea. All right. So instead of a regular episode this week, to change things up, because it's just a slow time of year, we're going to do one of our fighting game episodes where we each pick a crazy character within a theme. So like we have like horror movie slashers or historical figures or Playgirl Playmate of the Month kind of thing. So like Mike would say Mr. January, 1974.
I would say you're writing these ideas down.
Yeah. Hunk of the Month, Battle Royale, whatever. So Mike kind of had an idea. He had late night giggles a little while ago, and he was like, we should do a fighting game where it's just all villains, like the evilest of evil bad guys. And at the end, they're going to have to make their way tournament style, like up the mountain, up that elevator skyscraper, like Mortal Kombat, to the final boss,
yes.
Which Mike is keeping secret until the end. Yep. But you've heard these episodes before. We just kind of pick random characters and get stupider and stupider until we just say, okay, it's time. It's over. And then we fight the final boss in our heads and we call it a night. And surprisingly, these episodes are a lot of fun. If you haven't heard them yet, just buckle up. Trust me.
It's weird shit.
It's weird shit. But we're going to try to pick the most evil bad guys ever, according to us.
And when we say the most evil bad guys ever, we're talking about some weird shit.
Yes. Yes. The only rule I'm going to put down is we're not going to do like real life people. Like, you're not going to hear Jeffrey Epstein.
No.
Because
no,
he
no.
wins.
Yes.
There could be real people. It could be like your third grade lunch lady. But she didn't actually do something fucking heinous like Jeffrey Epstein did.
Right.
If I mean, that she might have. We don't know.
Yeah, so.
I would say we should probably keep it like within pop culture, like comics, cartoons, movies, games type of.
Yeah, realm. I think like we've been doing this enough. We can kind of, we know the rules.
Yeah.
So don't expect Hitler, Trump, Jeffrey Epstein, those kind of people. But you might hear Carrot Top.
Might.
For ruining comedy. Actually, no. Anyways, that was probably Gallagher. Mike, this is your baby. Do you have a pick?
I do. I'm gonna start us off in a comfortable realm. It's gonna be horror movies, something we're all very familiar with. And I was honestly inspired by some of the stuff that Josh has been doing lately. And I'm gonna say, imagine, okay, the critters. So the Krites. Now, how would you do those in a fighting game? Imagine if they all, you know how they all rolled into the giant ball? Well, what if they could kind of pull a meat wad and actually change shape? So you have like a humanoid Krite conglomerate just like lumbering around and hucking critters at the bad guy, hucking critters at its opponent.
That. Oh, man.
Motherfucker.
Came prepared.
I mean, picture, like, you know what I'm picturing is like, remember Blob from Clay Fighter? How he could change shape.
All right. First of all, Clay Fighter needs to come back.
It really does.
The N64 Clay Fighter put it in the ground because it was so unbelievably bad.
But like,
but I totally agree.
You know, every time there's another generation of Smash Brothers, the fact that Clay Fighter doesn't have an appearance like Mr. Frosty.
Yep.
I get mad. Just saying.
It should come back.
Not that I would even play it. I just want to see like the nerds' reaction videos of like, oh shit, they announced Ridley. Oh, I'm gonna set myself on fire and jump out a window. I forgot that we have to actually make these guys fighting characters. I just had like, this guy's super fucking evil. Here's my pick. Well, all right.
I also just wanted to say Krite conglomerate.
I'm going to go right off the rails right from the start. This is my Scorpion, my Sub-Zero, my Ryu, if you will. This person is evil incarnate, in my opinion. And I don't know a single person that appreciates this person. My pick is Yoko Ono, who is just going to walk on the screen and ruin everything. She's just going to start singing.
Number four.
It's going to be like that episode of South Park with Wing, where the boxers just kept punching her and she was just singing. Basically, your opponent will tire themselves out trying to beat her.
She's going to start dating one of the other fighters and ruin him. Not that I hold John Lennon in high regard now that I know what I know about him as like a person. But yeah, she is just a talentless parasite. And as you said a few episodes back, Mike, an art fuck.
Yes.
Who thinks she's talented, but she's clearly just making it up as she goes along.
Have you ever seen the video of Chuck Berry and John Lennon doing the song together?
And yeah, Yoko Chuck Ono. Looks like he wants to murder her.
Yeah, because she just starts going, ah, and he just like, he's continuing to play and his eyes just get really fucking big and he just looks over at her. It's one of the funniest fucking videos.
Yeah, so she would just come on and start, you know, singing and you can't stop her. Everything you try, critters can throw critters at her. You know, Carrie can use her telekinetic powers to rip her apart, whatever you want. It's just, she just keeps coming back over and over. And just when you're like, maybe she died. No. Still kicking. Yoko Ono.
Fucking Yoko Ono.
Jesus God Christ. Damn her. Fuck. Just hate her.
Oh.
Josh, do you have a pick?
You know, I don't know. I think this is the appropriate pick to go up against Yoko Ono, you know. You know, damn it. Damn it. See, you're making me reconsider now because Yoko Ono is such a ridiculous one. You know what? I've got one right off the bat for Yoko Ono.
Okay.
I've got the warden from Super Jail.
Oh man.
That's awesome. God, I love that show.
Because imagine him just like showing up, like fighting game style. He'd like squint his eyes, take his glasses off, wipe them, and just be like, Jailbot? And Jailbot would come in and attack Yoko Ono and like rip her arms off. And he'd beat her with them as she like played different notes. And he would just kick back like it would be his finisher. He'd kick back and be like, and that's how you make music.
he'd be like the Farrah Tor of this game where he's the character, but Jailbot is the one fighting.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I'm gonna go Warden from Super Jail.
God damn it. Well,
that's a good one.
See, all right, yeah. We're off on a great start.
Oh, things are just gonna get weirder from here.
Mike, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
You got kids, right?
Oh, yeah.
All kids?
Well, one. One, yes.
I got kids. And you know the hardest part about having kids that they never talk about?
What's that?
Childcare. Mm-hmm. Is fucking expensive.
It's very expensive.
If you don't have a family member willing to watch your little rugrat, like over the summer, if you want to go on a date, anything, you're fucked. Because it's expensive as hell.
Mm-hmm.
But good news. Good news. I know about a new budget babysitting service. Have you heard about it?
I have not.
It's Josh Hibbard's Cool Uncle Babysitting Service. Have you heard about this?
Oh, it sounds interesting.
Drop your kids off at good old Uncle Joshy's, and he'll teach them all the great shit you don't have time to teach them. Do you want your kids to learn about taxidermy? Because Crazy Uncle Josh will take them up and down the Texas highways to find all kinds of great things to stuff. Armadillos. Dead hobos. I don't know what's in the road in Texas, Josh. Help me out.
A lot of things. Raccoons.
Raccoons.
Dead hobos.
Hippies. Turtles. You'll just let your kid rifle around in a dead carcass and, you know, stuff it with silly putty. I don't know how the fuck you make taxidermy. That's what Uncle Josh is for. And while they're out in the desert. Oh, what?
No. You got it right. You like you stuff them with silly putty.
Yeah, exactly. And that's how you know that dead coyote is gonna last forever. In your kitchen, on top of the refrigerator. Thanks, Crazy Uncle Josh. You know, while you're out in the desert, the Texas Badlands, if you will. Drinking becomes a problem, right? Mm-hmm. You might go thirsty and die, but that's a good thing because Crazy Uncle Josh is going to teach your little one how to drink their own urine to stay alive. That's right. He's going to bring a little glass. He's going to teach him that, you know, a little bit goes a long way.
You don't need a glass.
You just got to aim right really in your mouth.
Do a handstand. It's nature's water, you know, water fountain. It's great because this is the kind of babysitting services you get with Crazy Uncle Josh. And you know what? He's going to commemorate the whole situation by getting your kid their first tattoo. That's right. He'll give him a fake ID. He'll take him down and they can get anything. You know, 187, fuck the police. You know, big pot leaf. What better way for your 6-year-old to grow up in the summer than getting their own tattoo? Thanks to Crazy Uncle Josh's babysitting service.
I recommend a fuck the police tattoo, especially for the under 15 crowd.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing says grade A student like a fuck the police tattoo across their chest. Just make them cooler to everybody. Thanks, Josh.
You're welcome.
Cool uncle for life.
Every time you said fuck the police, NWA started playing in my head.
Yeah. Maybe your kid needs an ice cube tattoo on their forearm. You're a very white child with an ice cube tattoo. It'd be pretty cool.
If your very white child does not have an ice cube tattoo, then I don't want to hang out with that child.
No, they're not cool enough. You know, Wu-Tang's for the children. They need that W.
Indeed.
Thanks, Uncle Josh. You're the best.
Fuck the police.
Oh, good times.
Mike. Fuck them.
Yes. My next
literally.
Pick.
Like, get a hotel room. Except, like, four or five cops at a time. Who's your next pick, Mike?
I'm going to go over to comic books, and I guess you could argue maybe this guy isn't a villain. Maybe he's just a crazy homeless person. But I'm going to go with Happy Noodle Boy from Johnny the Homicidal Maniac. I imagine him playing like Game & Watch from Smash Brothers, where you would take several animations out of his animation, so he'd kind of like move very clip-like. And he, of course, would have stuff like flinging babies and Pop-Tarts, spitting bees, and riding you like a pony.
Oh, God.
I love the way he looks.
I love Happy Noodle Boy.
He's such a cool, awesome character. So I didn't have this my pick picked out, but then Josh said Super Jail, and something popped into my head. I got to take Mr. Pickles.
Oh,
wait, I thought your pick was Yoko, though.
No, this is my next pick.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
We have lots of picks because it's a fighting game.
No. I was just saying, like, I thought we were still on round one here.
Ah.
Oh, no, this is round two because Mike just picked
Happy Noodle Boy.
Are you okay with Mr. Pickles, Josh, or do you want Mr. Pickles?
Yeah, no. I'm totally fine with Mr. Pickles.
Mr. Pickles, everybody's favorite, lovable, satanic killing machine that happens to be a dog. And it's a show that the joke wears out really quickly, but the first season is fucking hilarious, in my opinion. If you've ever watched it, if not, it's on Hulu, it's on, like, YouTube, it's everywhere, it's hilarious.
The animation style slightly grosses me out.
Yeah, it's like, it's kind of like Terra Drew it a little bit.
Well, there's something about the human characters that's just like slightly off-putting, where it's like, I don't know, they look icky.
But I would totally have Mr. Pickles be like very brutal, like ripping arms and legs off.
Oh.
Kind of like a Time Killers style fighter, because that's what he does in the show. He's cartoonishly violent, and that's the whole point of the cartoon. So it's pretty cool. Josh, did you have another pick?
I'm going to counter your Mr. Pickles and Happy Noodle Boy.
Oh.
By adding another dog to the mix.
Oh.
I'm going to choose Skippy, the robot dog from The Tick.
Oh.
Because what a perfect fighting game dog that is, to show up and just, like, sit down, drop his tongue, start panting, and then pull a rocket launcher out of his back.
True. Very true.
You guys ever get mad in all of the incarnations of The Tick? I'm used to it at this point, but there's always new characters. Beyond Arthur and the Tick.
Oh yeah,
I love
it. I'm always expecting, like, where the fuck is Sureface Chippendale?
Yeah,
you know, I'm forever disappointed that the Amazon live action Tick didn't continue, because they had planned on introducing Chairface.
Yeah, fucking Amazon.
You know, I'm looking at Skippy right now, and I completely forgot he had the Robo Brain.
Yep.
Yeah, on top of his head.
That's so cool. I love characters that got the exposed brain. It's always fun.
So yeah, Skippy.
Skippy.
Skippy the robot dog.
I had, that was a nickname I had growing up because there was a substitute teacher that refused to call me Mike. For some reason, she always called me Skippy. And nobody would nobody knew why. Like, she would go through, like, is so-and-so here? Like, is Bobby Smith here? Is Julie Jones? And then she'd be like, Skippy. Skippy, are you here? And I'd be like, nobody would answer. And she would just point to me. You're right there, Skippy. And I'd be like, what? What did I do? Like, huh?
What a strange way to bully a child.
Yeah, Mrs. Greeny. She was, like, the mean one. Everybody hated her. But I never did anything to her. I was just like, you know, I pay attention in class. Like, I just kept to myself. And it was like, hey, you, Skippy. Come here, boy.
That's so weird.
It was very random. Like, let's go to the malt shop. And people would ask me, like, I had to make something up cool. Be like, what do they call you, Skippy? And I'd say something like, oh, I got hit by a Skippy ice cream truck. Everybody thought it was funny. Not this mentally ill substitute teacher called me Skippy. That's it.
Stuck.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. It's really weird, and kids are assholes.
That's really funny, actually. Random substitute teacher.
All right, Mike, what do you got?
Well, I'm gonna bring it back a little bit to something a little strange. Do you remember the episode of G.I. Joe where the Joes were terrified of the Viper? And yes. They didn't know who or what the Viper was, but he was coming to their base. And he was a little old Italian window washer who couldn't say wiper. He was saying Viper. So it's a little Italian man with a push broom and a bucket. Very much like Yoko Ono. He's just trying to wash the windows while you pummel him. And if you can beat him before time runs out, you win.
He's like the car that Ken and Ryu have to beat the shit out of for no reason.
But if he cleans the windows before you beat him, he wins.
Why?
The Viper. Why
would you low kick a car? Why?
The fucked up thing is we actually did have something like this happen in front of the hospital. Right. Where a guy got pissed off and started punching a parked car. And literally just screaming, going, ah! Just punching the car. Until he got arrested. Oh my god. Was fucking hilarious. I love that the one guard, I wish I could have saved it. I'm not allowed to, but he showed me the security footage. Because I wasn't, there was during day shift. There was a car parked out front, and this dude was just pacing back and forth. Now there's no sound, but you see him pacing back and forth, and out of nowhere, he just starts punching the shit out of this car, head kicked back, mouth open, clearly screaming. Just punching, and then you see the guards rush out and like get him and be like, whoa, 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 calm down, get away, like pulling him back. And then eventually the cops show up because he just started pummeling a random person's car. There was no damage done. It was just like, but why are you just going off on this vehicle?
Take that, Wheeljack.
Oh, he's like, it's a transformer. It slept with my wife. I'm gonna kill it.
I fucking hate Hound.
Maybe in his head he hears like, do, 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 do.
He just hears the Street Fighter music. Round one.
Fight. Oh, man, that's funny. Oh, shit. Who do I want to pick?
The Viper. Good Lord. I still, that's one of those really weird episodes of G.I. Joe that just sticks in my brain.
It's G.I. Joe. That's why it almost won. Stupid Ninja Turtles being all awesome. I am going to pick Emperor Palpatine.
Oh.
An evil piece of shit that won't do any of his own work. So he's just going to quietly influence other bad guys to do everything evil for him while he sits in a chair all day long and gloats.
He just sits there going, something, 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 dark side.
You know, do it! Have I ever told you the story of that thing?
Oh.
You know, I keep hoping that the latest trilogy will grow on me like the episodes 1, 2, and 3 have.
Nope, and not gonna happen.
No, they're just hot garbage.
And there's
listen, let me tell you, as someone that enjoys them, they're not fucking good.
I, you know, Josh, one of these days we'll have to talk about this on Member Berries one day. I can enjoy Force Awakens. I can. In fact, I really do like Force Awakens. The Last Jedi, I got a lot of problems with. But I've recently tried to rewatch Rise of Skywalker. Fuck. That's really bad, too.
Yes, it is.
Really bad. Just the change up of the Force powers and how that shit works in Jedi and Skywalker. Like, they just shit all over the lore. And it just, I can't take it. It sucks.
I was tempted to put Kathleen Kennedy down on my list of like evil characters where she just comes into the game and makes it worse. But I thought Yoko Ono was a better choice.
Have you watched the Panderverse episode of South Park?
No,
I have.
Oh my God. Every time anyone mentions Kathleen Kennedy, all I can hear is Cartman yelling, "Put a chick in it and make it gay." That's all I can hear. Because that episode's so damn funny. Oh Lord. The Panderverse.
Josh.
You know.
Josh.
You know. You know.
I know.
You know.
Yeah.
You know who I think the perfect opposition is for these characters?
Who's that?
Who?
Evil from Time Bandits.
Oh.
Hey, I'm looking at his toy right now.
That's a great pick. And God damn it, he's such a great actor, too.
You know,
David Warner.
It was genuinely me going like, which David Warner character do I pick?
Evil from
Time Bandits, because how wonderful would it be in a fighting game setting to like hit the right combination of buttons and have like his finger go in the air and he's just like, I shall turn you into a dog. Or like, if you like, one of his block moves could absolutely be him just like blowing up like a balloon and then firing your thing back at you.
He would also be like one of those, like one of the like summoner characters that you see in a lot of like sprite based fighting games where they call stuff from off screen to do their fighting. Yes. So he would be like summoning tanks and shit and like skeletons and all sorts of crazy crap.
Yep. And it would be amazing.
What a great character.
A great movie.
Yeah, it really is.
But watched the shit out of that as a kid.
You know what? Time Bandits, the opening sequence still scares me when the Time Bandits get the kid and they start running from oh my God, what did they call him? The Supreme Being. Yeah. Where you just see the face going, "Give back what you have stolen." And it's like chasing them down the hall. That shit used to scare the crap out of me as a kid.
Because it's terrifying.
It still kind of gives me the willies. But, and David Warner, I wish we could have seen what it would have been like for him to play Freddy Krueger. Like, don't get me wrong, I love Robert Englund. But just the fact that he was going to play Freddy is like, I love David Warner. What would he have done?
It would have been a very British, somber version of Freddy Krueger.
Yeah, it definitely would have been completely different Freddy.
I don't think you would get the bug nuts Robert Englund that, you know, we kind of got used to.
Right.
Unless, you know, that's what Wes Craven was just like, nope, this is what the character is. I have a feeling that that became Robert Englund's baby.
Oh, yeah. Well, but, after part one, you know, Robert Englund even said by part two, he was feeling ownership of the character and, you know, they started filming without him. They started filming with an extra in the makeup. And it wasn't until what was it, like a couple of days into shooting, that the director was just like, no, we need Robert Englund. So they convinced Robert Shea to pay, you know, pay Englund what he was worth and got him back on the shoot.
It's, yeah, David Warner. Pour one out for my homies. It's Mike. It's your turn.
Alrighty, let me see here. Okay, here's another weird one. Another comic book one. I'm going to go with Animal Vegetable Mineral Man from Doom Patrol.
Oh, dude. That's awesome.
Just because, again, you have to have some kind of character that could do weird shape-shifting stuff. And, you know, he could be turning his limbs into random shit. Plus, he's got a raptor head sticking off of him. How cool is that?
Imagine picking, like, Mr. Nobody.
Right?
Like, how do you make that into a fighting game character?
Yeah, that would be too hard.
some sort of, like, third wall breaking, confusing, doesn't exist in this dimension, weird ass fighting game character.
Right.
It's like Mr. Mitzel Spittle. Like, you know, it's like, huh?
Oh, I love Doom Patrol.
Yeah, I gave up on the TV show, unfortunately.
I still haven't watched the TV show. I gotta watch it.
It's good, but, you know, it goes four seasons, and by the fourth season, the characters haven't progressed. So each season, it's like they don't learn anything and they just repeat the same loop.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets a little exhausting. So gotcha. By the time the fourth season came around, I just didn't want to see them be fuck-ups again, because, like, that's what they were going with. It's like, oh, we're superheroes, but we're fuck-ups. Which, yeah, is, like, one, that's not new. And two, it's like you haven't grown. None of the characters have learned shit. So it's like, why are we watching the show if it's just these guys making the same mistakes over and over again?
This is why I don't watch television shows very often, because more often than not, the story overstays its welcome and it starts to get old.
Yeah, and then, like, budget problems kind of kept some of the more fantastic Doom Patrol shit out of it. So, like, you know, like, Robot Man is there, voiced by Brendan Fraser. He's exactly what you would want out of Robot Man. But then, like, Mr. Negative. Mm-hmm. You don't see the negative spirit come out of him that much. It's more of him being self-loathing and coming to terms being a gay guy.
Mm-hmm.
Constantly. Every episode. And it's like, just come to terms with it.
Right.
You know, it's, I don't know. I'd watch it, but you're not going to be able to binge it because you're going to get bored with it pretty quickly. And, like, Cyborg's in it for some fucking reason. Makes no fucking sense. Like, they just threw him in there to throw him in there instead of Beast Boy. Like, he has no history with the Doom Patrol.
Mm-hmm.
And they struggle to find something for him to do constantly and have it stay true to the character, and it gets a little weird. Anyways, Doom Patrol TV show. I don't miss it. I am going to pick Dr. Loomis.
He is the villain of the Halloween franchise.
He's the real bad guy in the Halloween franchise. Because really, all Halloween is a story of a poor little boy that desperately needed some therapy and psychiatric help and medication. And instead, he got Dr. Loomis, who probably shouldn't even be a doctor.
Who just locked him away. Who locked him up. He's evil.
Yeah. And screamed at him daily, calling him the devil.
You got the blackest eyes, boy.
I would go on a killing spree if my doctor told me I had no pupils.
No, your eyes are only pupils.
Yeah, you're just all black and you have no soul.
Oh my god.
Evil
no soul.
I guess I would think that killing my sister would be a good idea, instead of, like, how about art therapy and here's some medication because you're probably schizophrenic or bipolar, and let's get you a functioning member of something.
To be fair, remake Dr. Loomis did try art therapy and clearly it didn't work, so just saying.
His art was pretty great.
Was great, but
because that's Rob Zombie's art department, and that's one of the few areas where I can say consistently Rob Zombie shines. But yeah, like, really, Loomis, what the fuck? It's your fault.
See, we also know he's evil, not just by how he treated Michael, but watch how he treats children throughout the entire franchise.
Gets hit by cars, points guns at them.
Right. He scares there's like the kids that are just messing around and he fucking scares the hell out of them just for shits and giggles. And then look at how he treats Jamie throughout the 4 and 5. He's just constantly shaking her and yelling at her. Why are you mute? What's wrong with you, girl? Just shaking the shit out of her like a British nanny. It's terrible.
They mentioned you're pure evil. Evil.
Your uncle was evil and so are you.
Look at that baby over there. That baby's Satan. kitten Lewis. Over there wants your soul. Everybody's evil. He's like a Puritan mom. Just pointing fingers at everybody, calling him the devil. So what's he going to do in a fighting game? He's going to just, wantonly shoot at anything. You're going to get run over by a car accidentally. He's going to hide in the bushes and pop out and scare you. And he's going to point at you and call you evil all the time.
And it demoralizes your character so they get a debuff.
Yeah. And then you do something horrible. Kill some children. He's worse than Palpatine.
Oh, that's fucking hilarious. Fucking Loomis.
Josh, what you got?
Oh, okay. So I'm sorry. Remind me. Who else is in this round right now? I know it doesn't need to be specifically against who is in the round, but still.
I picked Animal Vegetable Mineral Man from Doom Patrol, and Mike picked Loomis.
Dr. Loomis. Two sides of the same coin.
Well, you know, what other opposition for them is there than Mama Fratelli? Oh. and she would absolutely be another one that, she doesn't do much fighting herself. She'll summon other characters, she'll suddenly, pause and start saying, back at my baby on the treetop. And then Sloth will come in and go into a Sloth rage. Break! Oh! And he'll go crazy on the opponent. Who in this case, would be Dr. Loomis.
Oh my god.
He has the devil's out. Why are they not even Ogon?
She puts your hand in a blender as one of her moves. she gives you piss colored water and it's like, drink it.
Oh god.
Fucking Ma Fratelli.
Can I give you guys a disturbing thought?
Yes.
Sure.
Just buckle up here.
Oh, no.
Ma Fratelli had sex at least 3 times.
True.
Think about that.
Yeah.
Somebody went spelunking in Ma Fratelli 3 times. 3 separate people. Maybe they killed themselves ugh.
See, I'm kind of picturing a hostage situation.
Oh, yeah.
Get it up! Oh, is that all? You look a little clumsy. Pull your pants down.
It would be like the Death of Some Salesman episode of Tales from the Crypt. Oh, God.
Like what you see, boys? Turn the lights on.
Oh, that's horrifying.
Now,
but
speaking of great role models for children,
mm-hmm.
like Ma Fratelli, I know a great role model for children, and that's Crazy Uncle Josh at Crazy Uncle Josh's Childcare, where he's guaranteed to have a fence in part of his yard. Crazy Uncle Josh?
No. Not that you can see. It's one of them electronic ones that put the kids in collars.
Right. He lets them find out the hard way what happens when they walk past the sidewalk. Crazy Uncle Josh's Maybe your kids will be alive when you come back to get them later that day.
Gotta learn them somehow.
Maybe he'll teach them how to kill a man with their bare hands. Crazy Uncle Josh is full of surprises. Did you know you could use your thumbs to scoop a man's eyes out? Crazy Uncle Josh will teach him how to do that. He's Crazy Uncle Josh. You know what else he'll teach him how to do? How to make meth in a bathtub.
Oh.
Because that is a skill that pays off dividends. Trust me.
Important life skill to have.
All you need is a Petri dish, a Bunsen burner, some Drano, and some NyQuil. I'm pretty sure that's where meth comes from. Right? Crazy Uncle Josh?
Most of the time, yeah.
Yeah. Just take what's in the medicine cabinet and cook it in your bathtub and sell it to your friends. Meth! Ain't it great?
And now I feel like a fool for making all this bathtub gin instead of meth.
Do you think we have any people who listen to the show that have tried meth?
I mean, I could see the correlation between meth and Count Creepyhead. I can definitely see why you might question that.
Yeah, like, and I don't want to make anybody feel bad. Maybe. Like, I don't want somebody listening to be like, I tried meth. Like, I don't want you to, like, I'm not, like, throwing shade. I'm just thinking out loud, like, what's the statistically...
I thought actively using meth while listening.
Oh.
Like I just like someone's like lighting up some meth and then you say that they go, oh, and they just put it away.
I mean, it's not zero.
This episode's all over the place. I love it.
Cow Creepyhead, Saturday Morning Monster Mash. Meth Head's favorite podcast. What an acolyte.
If you like meth, we like you.
I don't think that's a good episode title.
I don't think Apple would go for that.
No.
Oh my god.
Count Creepyhead. Bigger than Jesus's Willy.
Yeah. You just imagine you're like, I don't think people look for random podcasts. I don't think it's like scrolling through TV channels because I think we'd have more than 12 listeners a week. But if we did, can you imagine somebody like looking at the title and just being like Meth Head's favorite podcast and being like,
I'm in.
I wonder what this is about.
Oh, that's good.
Not only will he teach your kids how to cook meth, he'll take him to Tijuana to sell it. Because he lives close to the border. That's right. Crazy Uncle Josh. Take your kids to Mexico. Ain't it fun?
Oh.
Is Austin close to Mexico?
Relatively.
A few hours?
Yeah, like six.
Six? Six, a few, tomato, yeah. Tomato.
I would say, whatever. Texas is ridiculously big.
I know, like, Texas is like its own country.
Doesn't it take something like 13 hours to drive from like Houston to California or something like that?
Yeah, it's kind of insane.
It's a big motherfucker.
Like, how often does Bruce like have any desire to go to Mexico?
Not really.
Yeah, you should. What were you saying, Josh? I cut you off.
I don't know. I was just gonna say, like, I remember Mike and I driving down here, and a good percentage of the drive was Texas.
Well, there was, because, okay, so now during this drive, I could not sleep. I was cracked out on way too much caffeine and just nervousness. And, you know, Josh was able to get little catnaps here and there. But like we were switching off driving, and like anytime it wasn't my turn to drive, I would try to sleep and I just couldn't do it. And right before we got into Texas, we went to a Walmart where I bought a neck pillow, and that helped me actually get some sleep. But I remember at one point, like, Josh was like, all right, we're in Texas. And I'm like, woohoo. And I finally fell asleep. And I woke up like 3.5 hours later. I'm like, oh, my God, dude, is everything OK? He's like, we're still in Texas. And I was like, oh, shit, where are we? And like, we were driving forever. It was so long.
Yeah, every time I woke up, we were ridiculous.
It was nuts. Yeah, like Josh drove the entire time in Texas because at that point I was a useless lump. I needed to sleep.
Well, Texas. I used to live in Texas. Fun fact. Shamrock, Texas. Where are we? Josh takes your kids to Tijuana, leaves them there, and brings back a different child and claims it's yours. That's right. Crazy Uncle Josh's babysitting services.
Listen, let me tell you, this is a service that some people pay extra for.
Mike, care to take a guess what Crazy Uncle Josh's rate is for a week of babysitting?
I'm going to say $5 and a bottle of hooch.
Close. Uncle Josh?
Close.
What is it?
It's $10 for the week. But you got to give me a bag of edibles.
Ah, I thought you were going to say you got to give me a back rub.
Well, yeah. And then at the end of the week, you got to come over and wash my back.
There it is.
Crazy Uncle Josh has one of those like horse troughs that everybody bathes in Texas, apparently. You guys don't have showers, right?
This is correct. Only horse troughs.
He just has little children sponge bathe him. It's not creepy at all because he's Crazy Uncle Josh. It's part of growing up.
Well, and you have to be clean to cook the meth.
That's right.
You know, you don't want any impurities.
If you ever wonder how Josh...
I got a real nice hose.
Yes. Again, another episode title we can't use.
That is not a double entendre. That is a hose.
Of the garden variety.
It is of the garden variety.
Oh, I do like the idea of I got a real nice hose as an episode title.
I don't want it to get flagged. I haven't an episode get flagged yet.
Oh, that's fucking funny, though.
I'm thinking I'm going to call it Titles We Can't Use.
That's accurate. That's accurate.
Okay, Mike, you got another pick?
Yeah, I'm gonna go back from our off the rails, kind of, and bring it back to, do you guys remember the villain to the Care Bear Cousins, Darkheart?
No.
Vaguely.
He was a giant red cloud with eyes that, when turned into human form, became a little evil ginger in a tracksuit.
Oh my god. I remember the cloud. I don't remember,
He's a red-headed, like, glowing red-eyed kid in a red and white tracksuit. It's just the most ridiculous visage for a villain. It's
holy like, crap.
Ah, I'm an evil ginger. I'm gonna get Zoe's,
ya. It's Zoe's cousin.
But just like, I can't stop laughing at the concept of like this little kid trying to fight evil or fight like fucking Happy Noodle Boy. It's like, yeah, I'm in a tracksuit and I'm evil.
You know what? You totally stole my pick because I was going to take Problem Child. But I can't because it's like the same fucking character.
I mean, if you did, it would be like the mirror matches. Well, no, there you go. Problem Child could be a usable skin for the character.
Yeah. Like, he's just, he has John Ritter as an assist character. He brings John Ritter back from the dead to remind you that John Ritter's dead. That's how evil he is.
Evil little fucker. Oh, Jesus Christ, that's funny.
He's ghost. I'm like, I wish I was still here. Woo!
I was in Bride of Chucky.
Remember me? Woo! Watch, stay tuned. Woo!
Oh, I love that movie.
It was pretty cool. Oh, God. I just wrote evil people. These characters don't really make it any... All right, I'm just going to go with it. Josh, you may not know this one, but Bartok from The Fly 2, the evil scientist that puts dogs into teleportation machines because he's just pure fucking evil.
Random pick.
I think we broke Mike.
I'm just picturing that old fucker fighting these guys and I can't stop laughing. Oh my god, he'd have all the mutant dogs. That would be his fight.
Or you could have Mutant Bartok from the end, who's like a chewed up sausage with a face. But
like, oh my god, I gotta rewatch. I have not seen that movie in so long.
Oh, dude, it's awesome.
It is good. I remember liking it, but it's probably been a good like 10 or 15 years since I've watched it. Oh my god.
Canadian Optimus Prime is one of the villains. You've got Eric Stoltz, Daphne Zuniga.
Yep.
You get the full transformation of the fly, and it's fucking crazy. It's gory as hell. It makes no sense. Because Eric Stoltz is like 8 years old, but he's Eric Stoltz, and then he has sex with Daphne Zuniga. And nobody's like, this is weird. It's just like they roll with it.
Fucking Bartok. Jesus.
Yeah. I was driving. I had a 104-mile one-way drive. And I'm like, who's really fucking evil? I was like, Bartok. I hated that one. Like, he puts the golden retriever in the teleportation machine and it comes out like a potato. And Eric Stoltz is like, ah.
Potato dog.
So yeah, he gives you a pet. The whole level, you're just like, ah, oh, it's, you know, you're rubbing its belly and stuff. And he steals it. He puts it in a teleportation machine and it comes out inside out. And he gives it back to you.
We definitely have a bunch of evil old men in this video game.
Well, I'm about to add one more.
Go for it.
Are you ready for one that almost like is just too good to be included in this?
Sure.
Oh, go for
Larry
it.
David.
Oh god! Oh, you're talking Larry David right before he died, right? So humpback Larry David.
Larry David's not dead.
Or no, I'm sorry. I was thinking Larry King. I had the wrong Larry in my head.
Yeah, no, I'm just picturing Larry David walking and being like,
that Larry.
Turning David. Around and walking out.
Curb your enthusiasm, guy. Oh man, why the hell did I have Larry King in my head? I'm still tired, apparently.
The entire match would just be like, you would hear him like, and JB Smoove off screen, like talking about the character on screen that was just standing there slowly doing the curbed shrug.
Yeah, I'd fight him, but poor posture. I don't know. Like, it just having the character's shame, like, aw.
you think you're gonna fight a guy named Palpatine? what has he got? Prunes on his head? Come on.
One of his outfits needs to be the caped lawyer from Seinfeld. George Costanza's dad.
Yes, absolutely. So here's a random, completely nothing to do with anything fact that you might enjoy.
Sure.
Had Seinfeld on for a random rewatch and had a relatively early episode on. And something that I had never noticed before is the very first time that Newman is referenced or says anything, it's Larry David. Because he's off screen and you hear him, but you don't see him. And they holler to Newman, who's on the roof, and he hollers back. And it was a moment of like, wait a second. It's fucking Larry David.
Wait, was that when Newman, when Kramer was basically saying Newman was going to kill himself and he keeps getting up on the roof?
Yep.
And then he's yelling out the window and they're like, were they going to like watch something or go get something to eat or something like that?
Yep.
Fuck, I completely missed that was Larry David. I wasn't paying attention.
I, like, it was just one of those moments of, like, wait a second. That's not fucking Newman.
Oh, I might have to do another rewatch of Seinfeld. That every couple of years I do that.
It was very entertained.
Not related to anything. They just announced the 4K deluxe release of Killer Clowns from Outer Space from Scream Factory.
Ooh.
But, you know, do you have a 4K television? I don't have a 4K television. How high def do you need fucking Killer Clowns?
And, you know, this is maybe not so much of a popular opinion here, but I feel like a lot of 80s horror movies need to be a little bit lower fidelity. Because when you start, you know, pumping up the fidelity on these, you start to see the zippers on the costumes.
Yeah,
this is true.
Don't pump up the jam.
Yeah. Like, for example, for me, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, it needs to be grainy looking because that's just the feel of the film. Like, yeah. The moment it starts getting too glossy, it kind of ruins it.
But, that just literally just, I got a text from Screen Factory. I'm like, what is this? And you get posters, enamel pins, like nothing to do with the fucking movie. Yeah. And I've got the Arrow release that has all the extras. I can't imagine there's more extras that they haven't. I'm guessing it's just going to port over what's existing. Hey, that's evil. Evil Scream Factory selling you a poster for $110. Who do I have that's pure fucking evil? You know, it was pure fucking evil and actually could fight in this game. John Kreese from Karate Kid.
Yeah, no, John Kreese is a good one. That's actually a viable character.
He knows karate. He has a gang of karate teenage boys. That's not questionable. That's
a weird way to put that.
He constantly wants them to hurt other boys. He's racist.
Mm-hmm.
And he's John Kreese.
Yeah.
Perpetual 80s stalwart. Sweep the leg. I was going to say Johnny, but he's kind of like, you know, Zabka redeemed himself in Cobra Kai, not John Kreese. He's still a piece of shit.
Oh, yeah.
Pure evil. Josh.
I didn't get to do my pick.
Mike, I am so fucking sorry. I've lost track of time and space.
I'm going to throw in Dick Dastardly from the Wacky Racers.
I love Dick Dastardly.
Yeah, Dick Dastardly's a great pick.
And of course, he would have Muttley.
The villain in that one and done Scooby-Doo movie.
Oh, I love the Muttley laugh.
Did you guys watch Scoob?
I have not. I really want to see that, though.
Oh, it is so fucking good. I watched it during COVID because it didn't have a theatrical release.
Yeah.
But Dick Dastardly and Muttley play a huge part in the movie. It's really fucking good.
So I heard that it was a good flick.
And they completed the sequel and we're never going to get to see it.
Yay. Warner Brothers sucks.
Josh.
I'm going to go a little weird here. As if I haven't already.
That hasn't happened yet.
As if I haven't already. I'm going to go Quacker Jack from Darkwing Duck.
Oh.
Is that the jester?
The jester with Mr. Banana Brains.
Holy shit.
Was absolutely the genuinely most terrifying of all of the Darkwing villains.
I forgot about this guy. I'm looking at him now.
Like, because Quacker Jack was just fucking unhinged. Like, Quacker Jack, they kind of underplayed it, but Quacker Jack was 100% the Joker of Darkwing Duck, to the point of, like, his schemes were ridiculous and he took them dead serious.
Right.
And it was one, like, he was terrifying.
Yeah, I gotta rewatch Darkwing Duck. I have, like, not seen it in so long.
And he would absolutely be like the unexpected bombs and projectiles type villain. Because, you know, I want to hear what you'd see.
I was gonna say I can see him playing like the way the Joker did in MK11, where it is a lot of like bombs, the like boxing glove on a spring type of long range attacks.
Yep, toss him Mr. Banana Brains. Mr. Banana Brains explodes.
Mm-hmm.
Like there were so many good, genuinely good Darkwing villains, but I always thought Quackerjack was genuinely terrifying.
Yeah.
See,
okay.
I was just gonna say. Also, I genuinely loved the reimagining of Bushroot for the DuckTales, modern DuckTales reboot.
Yes.
How did that go? That
Bushroot was fucking terrifying. He was like a mindless plant zombie.
Mm-hmm. And see, I always think of, was it Megavolt? Was that the villain's name?
Yeah,
the mouse.
Yeah, I always think of him and Negaduck as the, when I think of Darkwing Duck.
Fun fact.
Anytime they make Darkwing Duck toys, you always get Negaduck.
Oh, yeah.
Fun fact, I was Megavolt for Halloween as a child.
And nice. Shocked.
My mother made the most amazing giant battery and giant plug for my chest. And it was one of the few occasions where my dad lent a hand, because he made me like a weird Megavolt belt, but also he added his own touch to it, because he like added an extendable extension cord that I could plug into different sections of the costume. So I could like Megavolt power up. And yeah, the little chest thing that my mom made for me had a little light in it, so it lit up.
Oh, that's cool.
So it looked like I was glowing with electricity.
That's really cool.
Yeah, I liked Darkwing as a child.
I was a great
child. I like turtles.
Yeah, I like turtles.
I didn't get into it that much. My local channel didn't have it in syndication.
Mm-hmm.
So they did their big with DuckTales, Chippendale, and then they started to die off with Tailspin.
Yep.
And then Darkwing Duck came around, and it was sort of like petering out, so it was harder to watch. It was like just on Saturdays. Final round, guys.
Alrighty. Before the final, yeah. Well,
before you have your pick, Mike, we really need to let the audience know, is Crazy Uncle Josh for them? Or do they go to like a normal child care center?
No.
I would say give your $10 to Crazy Uncle Josh. He needs kids to pull all of his molds. And pour all that resin
and listen to me. Listen to me, you fuckers. If you go to your local child care place, I'll burn it down. I'll burn it the fuck down, okay? So come to Crazy Uncle Josh.
Yeah, and you know what Crazy Uncle Josh's favorite game to play with the kids is?
What's that?
It's called Man, the Deadliest Prey of All. It's a great game. What Josh does is he gets a local guy, he gives him a 5-minute head start. And he gives the kid some sharp sticks and tells him to go kill.
And I dress up like the predator and hunt the man and the children.
It's awesome. Did you know that Josh is technically invisible if he has no clothes on? Like predator.
You can't see me.
Can't see him. He has a helmet on. Awesome. Child care. Crazy Uncle Josh. Did you know that Josh has a wide selection of movies for your kids to watch on rainy days? Including his favorite film, Showgirls. So, Mike.
Hey, that is a Paul Verhoeven classic, damn it.
I know you want Caleb to watch RoboCop, but he might have to get through Showgirls first. Just saying.
No. It's got to be the made-for-TV edit where they, like, used MS Paint to draw bikinis on all the boobies.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Have you ever seen that? It's so bad.
Why would you torture your kid?
Oh my God. It's so awful. I love that it's just like so clearly the worst software ever that they used for the bikini tops. It's great.
God, I gotta hold on a second. I've never seen this before. Oh God. Why bother?
It's the most ridiculous fucking edits. Like, there's no proper shading on them. It's just like these flat bikini tops.
Oh,
I love it. It's so bad.
Like, I don't envy you, but I also envy you in having a son, because I've got like a whole other bag of fucking badgers of problems that I have to deal with having a daughter. But like, there's going to be that moment where like you catch Caleb watching Showgirls.
Right? I mean, to be fair, he's got the internet.
I know, but like, you're going to have that moment where you have to like that split decision. Like, do I parent or do I give him a high five? You know what I mean? Like, you just look at him and give him the nod, like, yep, and then leave him alone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you got like, proud of you, son.
I mean, to be fair, my parents just kind of ignored most of what I was watching. So, I mean, not that I'm saying that that's the best parenting method, but you know, it's I'm pretty open to allowing him to watch most things.
My parents just assumed that Sorority Babes and the Slam Ball Bolorama was some safe, goofy kids movie. Just saying.
Like, I mean, to be fair, I plan on introducing him to Team America this week, so dude, just saying.
America, I wish I could be a fly on the wall.
Fuck yeah!
Wait, what'd you say, Mike?
I wish I could be a fly on the wall.
Well, like, we watched Dodgeball last week, and my God, I forgot how fucking funny that movie is.
Fucking Chuck Norris.
Dude, that's the funny thing is Caleb didn't know who Chuck Norris was. He had heard the name, but he was so confused. He's like, wait, is that, he goes, Chuck Norris, isn't that a guy who did like a bunch of bad stuff? Like, didn't he molest people? And I was like, Jesus, no. He's like, but there's all these memes about him. I'm like, right. And I pulled up the Chuck Norris memes. He's like, but why? So I showed him some old kung fu stuff with Chuck Norris. He's like, oh, is that all? Like, yeah, he was a big action star back in the day.
I quote that and I don't realize I'm quoting it. I'll say like blade, laser, blazer. Like, I'm just like, what? Like, why am I saying that?
The scene where Patch is a hooligan was like, if you can dodge a ball, or if you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball. When that scene
happened, I love Ripcord.
Caleb lost his shit. He was just in tears, and I'm like, yep, you're going to like this movie.
All right, because these are the kind of episodes where we meander. I have a fucking hilarious Rip Torn story.
I love Rip Torn.
It's weird. So I have a friend who lived in Philadelphia for 10 years, and his side job is he was always a production assistant on movies that they were filming out there, like independent movies, big movies. They always needed local talent to be PAs and gaffers and like that kind of stuff. You hire local union people for that when you're filming like the next Mark Wahlberg film, whatever. And they're filming some sort of independent movie with Rip Torn in it. Mm-hmm. And his friend was a PA on the movie, and her job was to wake Rip Torn up and sober him up every single day they had to shoot, because he would be so hammered and passed out in his trailer they couldn't get him up to go on set.
Oh shit.
So her job was to kick the door in and like splash cold water on his face, but then he'd be like, he'd snap out of it and have the lines ready to go. Like
a professional.
He was around for so long, he was a functioning alcoholic, but you had to get him up and alive, and like shock him back to life. And that was their job. Always cracked me up.
That's awesome. I mean, he really was a good actor though.
Beastmaster.
Yeah, no, he's in so many good things. Like he was always good. I honestly immediately think of him from RoboCop 3, which I know is an odd pick, but that's always where I picture him from.
Look, people shit on RoboCop 3. It's not a bad movie. It's fucking good. If you like RoboCop, the only thing that's disappointing is that they don't have a bigger bad guy.
Yeah.
Honestly, the only two things I think are disappointing about the movie is one, I like the guy that replaced I can't think of his name, Peter Weller. Peter McCullen. I'm like, no, that's not right. Peter Weller. The guy that replaced him, he does fine, but it's not Peter Weller. So yeah. It's like it's a little jarring when you watch RoboCop 1 and 2 and then suddenly it's different dude. And the, I wish the effects budget was just a little bit higher because the jetpack scene looks really bad.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't look so bad that it takes you completely out of the film, but it does look pretty fucking bad, especially because they build up to it. Like, if they didn't have such a build up to flying RoboCop, it wouldn't have been so bad. But like, once you get there, I'm like, that looks kind of cheesy.
But he's got a gun hand.
Yeah, no, I love the gun hand. And honestly, I like the fight against the robo ninja dudes, but it's it gets shit on when it doesn't deserve it. A lot of the RoboCop media gets shit on that doesn't deserve it.
Don't shit on RoboCop. He's here to serve and protect. He'll shoot bad guys in the dick for you.
He'll shoot bad guys in the tech in the dick, and I will give him soft serve while he protects. So
right.
I'm still amazed by the fact that they snuck that little Easter egg into the video game where the super armored guys, if you shoot them in the dick, they die. Like, I love that.
Are the health items baby food?
No, they're these weird little, like, canisters.
And
yeah, I know. It should have been baby food.
been so we'll cool. Assume they're full of baby food.
Right.
Can you imagine, like, RoboCop had gone so long now that we're on, like, RoboCop 15... They'd have funny character asides where he's like sitting down like, this is some good baby food. Pears, and, my favorite. Nom, 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 nom.
And like the human part of him still, like the face would all be aged and grizzled looking.
Just Peter Weller CGI'd onto a robot pissed off about Oreos. All right. Last picks.
All right. I got one.
Mike, you got one?
And it's fucking ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. We don't have any telekinetic characters as of yet, but now we do. Robert the Tire from Rubber.
God damn it.
You have to fight a sentient telekinetic tire.
God, it's such a weird fucking movie.
It's so strange. Like I haven't put it on the Boogeyman's Closet yet because I don't even know how the fuck to talk about it.
I have so much trouble sitting through it.
Oh, dude, no, I have no trouble sitting through it. I fucking love it. It's ridiculous.
It's I know, but I just when I watch it, I'm like, I can't. I know what it's doing. It's just it's not catching me. I don't know. It's an evil tire movie. Just like the evil telephone pole from
Pulse.
Pulse, another one I could have done, just a telephone pole.
I see you up there, evil Hal 9000 telephone pole.
Fuck you. All right, fine. You know what? I'll pick an evil telephone pole and the girl from Hereditary crashes into it every single start of the fight.
Oh, God. So you have the Hal 9000 telephone pole from Pulse.
And all he does is make the level inconvenient for you. He makes the ground a little wet.
He makes singes the ground.
He doesn't do anything cool. But you have to fight a telephone pole.
Oh, my God.
With your bare hands. You're Emperor Palpatine, and you have to, like, whack it with a stick. Like, telephone pole. This fucking game.
My weakness.
God damn it. Tire bumping into it over and over again until time runs out and nothing happened.
Oh, Lord Almighty.
Both you know, double flawless victory.
To be fair, if any of the games that we have created on this show became a reality, you do know that they would, like, people would want their money back. There would be massive refunds.
Well, look, like,
I don't know. I think as soon as they unlock Larry David, they'd be happy.
Yeah. There's no refunds in Count Creepyhead. I got your money. You're not getting it back.
We've become the EA of podcasts.
Oh, you want the good refunds. Episode? You gotta pay for the downloadable content.
I'll give you a refund. One kiss at a time.
Josh is the Greta Gremlin of this podcast. Here's something up for me, guys. Is Greta a male gremlin dressed as a woman?
Yes.
Or did Greta take some sort of weird Christopher Lee mad scientist potion and become a female gremlin? Or are the gremlins asexual? It doesn't matter.
Christopher Lee gave it a potion to give it boobs to have sex with it.
Yeah.
All right.
I'll be honest. I always just kind of thought that, you know, it was a male gremlin that was dressing like a female gremlin. Yeah. That's honestly what I always pictured. I didn't really think about it past that. So, yeah,
it's like Bugs Bunny in drag.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I never know. I was always like, you don't think about it until you're alone at night with the Dune sand bucket, the Dune worm, popcorn bucket. And you're like, Greta Gremlin, a dude? Do gremlins have genitalia?
And then you answer the question with, does it matter?
I'm fucking the Dune popcorn bucket, really. There is no bottom to this bucket.
I'm going to get that gremlin real wet.
So Robert Picardo finishing Greta Gremlin's face that she reproduced.
Yes.
Oh, gets her a pearl necklace. The little gremlins pop out of her chest. If she swallows after midnight, will she turn into a cocoon?
Oh my lord. That is awful and hilarious.
Hey, there's your next episode for Raised by Reynolds.
Oh, okay. Strasburg, I know you're listening. It's up to you.
Don't.
Okay, I'm gonna make my final pick.
All right.
Okay.
And it's probably my best pick. I'm gonna pick the warlord of the planet Gygax, the destroyer of the Templars, the one and only Psycho Goreman.
Bravo, sir. That is a actual good pick.
You win.
Because, seriously, how fucking badass would a Psycho Goreman character in a fighting game be?
I kind of want a Psycho Goreman fighting game with all of the weird, you know, characters in that movie. That would be fantastic.
I want a fighting game, or I want to beat him up?
Yes.
The move where he, makes you freeze and just your eyes roll in place as you lose life.
Oh god. Yeah, you're trapped like that for infinity.
For eternity.
Eternity. Oh god, and have Mimi there controlling him.
This was my masterpiece.
She'd run out and say something random and then he'd, you know, do whatever she said.
My hunky boys.
Psycho Goreman, he's gonna take your hunky boys.
Where is the sequel? Please.
I know, right?
More.
It deserves more.
I want the people who are doing the Turbo Kid game to pick up Psycho Goreman.
Oh god, yes, please.
Make it to something, and I would just top tier whatever you got. Here's $1,000.
Honestly, I feel like if they were to do something along the lines that, you know, Shredder's Revenge, the Toxic Crusaders game, or like the, what's the other one that's coming out? G.I. Joe. That type of a side-scroller beat-em-up with Psycho Goreman just beating the fuck out of aliens and people alike, you know, and having Mimi run out with, little power-ups, that would be fucking awesome.
You could play as Mimi and her brother.
Yeah. Yeah. And the brain kid.
Yeah. Oh, man. Alistair?
Yeah. Oh, I forgot his name.
The dad who always found a way out of it. Oh, God. That's such a great movie.
That's awesome.
Mike, who's the final boss?
Well, I was going to say, do we want to have any kind of, guardian for the final boss? Yeah, go for it.
David Zaslav, head of Warner Brothers, will stop the game from coming out to begin with.
No. To be fair, he would not stop the game from coming out. If we're talking Warner Brothers games, he would actually push the game out before it's completed and then charge you a fuckload of microtransactions and tell you that the game will be finished later. You just got to keep buying pieces of it. Kind of like they're doing with MK1, where it's like, we got a whole bunch of shit coming out. It's coming out. Just keep buying all the costumes and other shit that we keep throwing at you. And later, if you support enough, eventually we'll give you the rest of the game.
You know. Or just wait until we're done, and then we'll sell you that game cheaper mm-hmm. than the original.
Exactly.
Fucking evil.
Yeah, no, that is a good Guardian character. Josh, do you want to throw a Guardian character in there? Like, kind of like Street Fighter style, where you had a couple?
Oh yeah, definitely. I'm gonna go right back to ridiculous though.
Go for it.
You know, it's interesting. You think you can get by me,
Jiminy Glick?
Because it would like his movement as it was in real life, like would be almost Chris Farley level erratic.
Yeah.
Like he'd come on, he'd just be like pulling up and adjusting his pants. But he absolutely could like
move like a fox and take you down like nobody's business.
Because you know, once upon a time, you know, my wife
Dixie,
you know, good woman. You know, she used to say I was like a jaguar in the bedroom. It was like I moved with the grace of a puma.
A puma? It's a puma.
It's the grace of a puma. But how do you say it?
Your Jiminy Glick impression is always on point. It's uncanny. Oh, my God. Well, the final boss that is kind of the reason that this whole thing came about, because I was thinking of who the evilest villains in all of pop culture are. The final boss will be none other than Jenny Curran from Forrest Gump.
Fucking bitch.
And of course, she has a move where she yells, "Hold my AIDS, baby!" and throws Forrest Jr. at you, and he latches onto you like a screaming howler monkey and just starts gnawing at your throat.
Oh, God.
Do you ever just stop and think about all the implications of Jenny?
She's awful.
Don't catch, and then you're like, you have to watch it, and like, when did she get AIDS? Did she give Forrest AIDS?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, does the kid have AIDS? Is it implicit that she has AIDS, or is it something else? You know what I mean?
Right.
And either way, she's a piece of shit.
Oh, yeah, she's an awful person.
It's just like, she's constantly like going out to get milk at the drugstore and not coming back.
And to get milk at the drugstore, you mean like hanging out with a busload full of guys?
Yeah, and like, and Forrest isn't even
their
like trying
semen
to,
is the milk.
Yeah, like Forrest isn't even trying to friend zone. He's just being a good person.
Yeah. And then
and she takes advantage
like,
of him.
Yeah, she's like breaks into his house and is like, I'm horny. I'm going to hump you now. What the fuck?
Yeah, like he's mentally challenged, lady.
Yeah. Like, maybe I have AIDS. Maybe I don't. Roll the dice, Forrest. You can't run away from this. Like, what the fuck?
Oh, that's dark.
It is truly a fucked up character though. Like it's one of those characters that it kind of got a pass when the movie came out, but as more and more people saw it, they're like, wait, hold on a second. This woman is awful.
So anyways, I started running from AIDS.
Oh God.
AIDS burger in Forrest Gump. AIDS burger from one Jenny Pump.
And you know, and there's the whole question of like, okay, so the kid is Forrest's kid. But like, when like you said, when did she get AIDS? So was it, did she have AIDS before she got pregnant? Did she have AIDS after she got pregnant? Like, and are we sure that that's even Forrest's kid?
Like, yeah, and like, is Forrest the right guardian?
Right.
Or your child? Like, like, she doesn't have the best life skills. I mean, yeah, Forrest is filthy rich.
I think the kid's way better off with Forrest than Jenny.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least Forrest isn't going to, like, you know, leave him in a locker room while she go while he goes and hangs out with the basketball team. You know, it's like, come on,
man. I'd love a sequel with Haley Joel Osment now as Forrest Gump's kid, because as cute and adorable as young Haley Joel Osment is, adult Haley Joel Osment is just fucking hilarious.
Yes. With a giant head.
Hey.
That kid has a giant head. Don't get me wrong, I love him in movies. He's great in everything, but he's got a big dome.
You Why leave us Cabbage Patch people out of so this.
Big? Why is his head so big?
Oh, God.
I have to special order hats. Hats don't fit me. My head's so big.
I mean, to be fair, I have a similar problem. I can never find hats that fit.
I can wear beanies. But I have to go to big and tall websites or African-American clothing companies because they make extra room for froze.
And I have a large head, too.
We all have large heads. We have supervillain heads. It's a podcast full of Megamind.
You know what it's from? It's good. Our heads all got big because we're on Hulu. Or we're on we're Tubi. Tubi.
We're too, yeah, I know. It's our
we're not high class enough for Hulu.
You know what's funny? I didn't get a single message. What boob are you on?
You know, so
our listeners were just like, yeah, whatever.
I think Josh might have just given the episode title "Not High Class Enough for Hulu." Like last episode, we're all on Tubi. Second episode, not high class enough for Hulu. Oh my god, but yeah, so Jenny is the final villain that you have to face.
She could fight a telephone pole. We'll be ready for that.
Oh lord, what a weird game.
Yeah, all she'd have to do to summon those demons is open up legs.
Oh god, it would be like the episode of, okay, have you guys seen Drawn Together?
It's been a long time, but yeah.
There was the princess character, and she had a cursed cooch, and it was like every time she lifted up her dress, it was like Cthulhu came out of her crotch.
Yeah, there was like demons and shit and tentacles.
Yeah, that would be Jenny. She would just lift her dress up and be like, ah! Like tentacles would come out and grab you. It's not AIDS that she has. It's something evil.
Stops the fight. Well.
This episode went into weird directions.
You're welcome, everybody. It was this or us being very bored talking about the news. Because there's like three things that happened this week. And none of them are exciting. So, you're welcome.
You want the news? Here's the news. Hasbro wants to fuck you.
Yes, right. Yes, they do.
That's the news.
I would like to announce the Hall of Fame winner, and then we are going to bounce. I'm pretty sure you won, Mike.
Woo!
His tank. Let's see, because I did not prepare for shit. It's a great podcast. I'm going to leave all this in. Cobra Hiss 2 won with 62%. Congratulations, Cobra Hiss. Lucifer came in third place with a impressive 8%, and the Claw came in with 30%. And Matt LeMay got really fucking mad that we made him pick between the Hiss Tank and the Claw. Sorry, Matt LeMay. There won't be a Hall of Fame this episode because this is just us picking evil characters like Bartok and Jenny and a telephone pole and Yoko Ono and
Noodle Boy.
Yeah. Dick Dastardly.
Larry David.
Who I thought was Larry King for some reason.
Sure.
By the way, I want to be clear that I don't think Larry David himself is an evil person, but I'm picking specifically like curbed version of Larry David.
Yeah. Who is the character he plays?
who is very, very much, whether he means to be or not, he's fucking evil.
Yes.
Well, it's like all the Seinfeld characters. None of them are good people.
No.
That's what makes it so much fun.
But yeah, I'd like to thank you for listening. I appreciate your patronage. Tell your friends. Tell your parents. Tell your children's school teachers. Tell everybody about Josh's babysitting service.
Tell the local children to stop knocking at my crypt. I have no breakfast cereals for them. I have eaten it already. Blah.
Right. Tell them that the count isn't allowed to be within 500 feet of a school. Blah. That joke did not go over well. Tell everybody, tell your dentist, whatever. We are going to take a break next week because I don't know if there's anything to talk about. And we will be back before you know it in 2 weeks' time with another action-packed episode where we talk about toys and stuff.
Also, yeah. On the next episode, I will tell you a story about Wolverine and a pretty pink tutu.
I'm excited.
I don't know where that's going, but I will wait with anticipation.
A Wolverine, like an animal Wolverine?
Spoiler alert. The story ends with Wolverine in the pink tutu doing a sexy Wolverine dance because he's sexy Wolverine and he does a sexy Wolverine dance.
Awesome.
I will leave it up to you to decide whether it is the X-Men Wolverine or the animal.
But either way, Goodbye Horses is playing.
That's right. I'm going to end this by saying go to Pikmin's Vinyls and get yourself some awesome stuff. Josh, did Buffalo Bill sell out yet?
No, there's still some bills.
Get yourself a bill in an amazing box with an all new dress. Because Buffalo Bill, that's why.
Would you buy one? I'd buy one. I'd buy one so fucking hard.
But
I'd buy one faster than I'd put a big fat lady in my van. Which is pretty fast. You go to the Pikmin's website and you put the fucking figure in your basket and you check out and you take your own Buffalo Bill home and you put me in a little well and you can tell me to put lotion on my skin. Buy it. Yeah.
Awesome.
Why have I never thought of Buffalo Bill doing a commercial for Buffalo Bill?
Cartoon Little Bill Cosby doing a commercial for Buffalo Bill? Is that what you just said?
Oh, dear God.
It's not, but in my head, I was suddenly just like, you take the Buffalo Bill and you put pudding pop in the behind of the Buffalo Bill after you give him the roofies.
Oh, my God.
All right. Let's quit while we're at.
I don't know that we actually got past that. We've jumped the shark several times already.
This is Mike saying, go listen to some Yoko Ono.
This is Mike saying, watch out for Jenny and her AIDS babies.
This is Josh saying, number four.
Bye, how the everybody. Fuck can you do Yoko Ono, too? You can't do it all. What the fuck? That's amazing.
Did you do 2 hours of Yoko Ono?
You can do that one.
We have a special podcast for you.
How was I never aware you could do this one?
Holy shit. Okay. I'm sweating. I'm laughing so hard.
Oh, that hurt. Oh, my God. That was fucking good. Whew.
Hey, everybody.
Pretty good.
Count Creepy. .com on the World Wide Web. Must I say it again? Did you not listen? Count Creepy. C-O-U-N-T-K-R-E-E-P-Y. Ah.